Revelation chapter 20, we're down here at verse 7. This is where we stopped 2 weeks ago, so that's where I'm going to pick up as a reminder. The Bible says in verse 7, and when 1,000 years or expire, so that this is telling us at the end of the millennial reign, right? So we know the next great event will be the rapture, 7-year tribulation period, the millennial reign, that 1,000-year millennial reign. And then what we're going to see is there'll be this little season where the devil will be released from the bottomless pit, and he will go out to deceive people, and people have a choice to receive or reject Jesus Christ. Now, these are the people that were born during this time, the after the tribulation during millennial reign. So they have a choice, and the Bible tells us, and should go out to deceive the deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now think about that just for a moment. So 1,000 years have just gone on. Our Lord has been ruling and reigning. We came back with him, the Bible tells us. The wickedness of the world, as in what you're seeing today, is not going to be allowed, right? There'll still be sin, but it won't be allowed like what it's going on today. Things are going to be different. The animals are going to be different. They'll hear stories, about how animals used to kill each other and stuff. It doesn't happen now. How the animals used to eat meat and now they're eating grass. They'll see people's testimony of who got saved. They'll see the Lord. And then it says here, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. There is a number of people, a magnitude of all these people that get born either during this time that rejects Jesus Christ. They didn't have the influence of the devil at the beginning, right? For that 1,000 years, however long they were here. They did not have the influence of the devil. But the reality is, you could see their heart wasn't right. They didn't know Jesus Christ. And when given a chance where the devil says, hey, follow me, I'll give you freedom. And the truth of the matter is, when you think about someone that's lost, they're not free. You're in captivity. You're in bondage to sin. The only way to be free is to come to Jesus Christ. Until you come to Jesus Christ, you're in the bondage of sin. You can't get out of it. And here it is, the devil will lie to him. And what you'll see is large group of people that were born during this time will outright reject Jesus Christ and will follow the devil to try to overturn him. Now, I have to tell you, there's some things in the Bible that I know it's all true, right? Every single thing from the beginning to the end. I know every single thing. But there's some things in the Bible that just makes me think, how is that possible? One is Judas, you know. Think about Judas, what he's seen with the Lord. That makes me scratch my head. I know he has a free choice and he rejected it. And this right here, knowing those people saw our Lord, knowing those people would have saw other believers that's on this earth and what they did. Look here at verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. They weren't given a second chance. They weren't given a warning. They weren't saying, hey, you know, you sure you want to do this? They made their decision. It was over. You know, it's God in his mercy. You think about during this day and age that we're living in, God gives people, he shows them mercy. He has long suffering. There are some people that have multiple chances to get saved. And sometimes someone may not have multiple chances. You know, it depends on what it was. I was reading the book of Daniel a couple days ago. And in the book of Daniel, you think about Nebuchadnezzar, right? The different chances that he had in family. It was like he went out on all fours, was eating the grass, and he realized, he looked up and realized there is a God of heaven, and he humbled himself. Because when you read that about Nebuchadnezzar, he's the one that told his people, write this and send it out to all the people. I mean, he was over everything. It was his testimony he gave how God humbled him. He didn't care. He didn't care, Doris, that people saw him being humble and different stuff, because he found the Lord. See, when you get saved, you're not going to be ashamed. You'll be thankful. You know, yeah, this is what God had to take me through, but look what he did. But then when it comes to Belshazzar, I probably said that name incorrect. As you already know, I misspelled names and say names wrong, but I think you get it. But anyway, when that writing was on the wall, Daniel said, your time, it's being weighed, and found wanting. And that night he died. Nebuchadnezzar was given time and time and time. You think about this young man, he's seen it, he heard it. He should have known better, but he rejected it. And he said, up today, and that was it. So, but anyway, you think about these people, God did give them time. They saw it. And the reality is this, they chose the devil, and they're gone, right? So when you read this scripture right here, where it talks about, and fire devoured them. Now, I'll come back here to verse 10 later, but go over here to 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, well, we just read in Revelation, you could see it also here in 2 Peter chapter 3. And starting at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We know the day of the Lord, you think about the rapture, the millennial reign, right, during this period of time. So sometimes you'll see the wrath of God as tribulation. But this period of time, but it's saying here, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So this is, when you read this, you can see in Revelation, right, what's going to happen. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So you think about it, there's coming a day where everything will be destroyed. You know, the earth will burn up, the heaven will burn up, right? The sky that's there. Every single thing will be gone. You know? And that's why he's reminding us as believers, you know, the things that we're caring so much about on this earth, the reality is, you know, when you die, it's someone else's. And you have no idea. There may be something that's precious to you, right? You know, this is just, and I'm joking, this is precious to me, right? And this means so much to me, and I put it up on my nightstand, or I put it on my coffee table, and it's precious, and take care of it. It means so much to me. Well, when I die, and I give it to Ariana, she may sell it at a junk sale for a buck, right? So I don't, you have no idea what someone, I'm just joking about that, but you understand. You have no idea what the next person's going to do, right? And the reality is, what you can care about is care about yourself, you know, your soul, and care about souls about others, right? That's what you can influence to go to heaven. Stuff can't go there. So, which is good news. That means this carpet is not going to heaven, amen? It's going over to Miss Alma or Mark, one of them. They can fight over it. So, but anyway, if you go back here to Revelation chapter 20. So we could see when he talks about in verse 19 how the heaven and the earth will be destroyed. Everything that's here will be destroyed. So that also tells you that this earth, right? People are concerned and saying things are going to happen. This world's going to still be here. If the rapture happens today, we know at least 1,007 years in a little season. This earth will still be here, right? So don't get worried about what you hear people talking about, oh, the things are going to melt. And don't worry about all that. So anyway, down here, verse 10. This is, I love all the Bible, but Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. I really love this verse. Amen. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This is where the devil will be for all eternity. The devil will be tormented in a lake of fire and brimstone. Well, the Bible says where the beast and false prophet are. So the beast is the Antichrist. The false prophet is the one that comes on the scene during the tribulation time and gets people to saying, hey, stop worshiping, you know, those other gods and worship the Antichrist. And what you'll see is all nations will turn, right, and turn to the Antichrist. So it says here where the false prophet are. What does that mean, are? Yeah, you're already there. They're still there, right? How much time has passed in verse 10? Any idea how much time has passed?
But you got the 7.5, take that away.
So well, 7 years is tribulation,
yeah.
Right? But they're at the end of the tribulation, yeah, is when they're cast in.
Yeah.
So we know that it would be
1,000 years
and a little season, and a little season. So we know 1,000 years and a little season, they're not burned up, they're still there. You know, people will talk about lake of fire and hell. And I know hell, if you think about it, hell is in the earth and one day it'll be taken out and then cast into the lake of fire. But the reality is they are still there. It's a torment that never ends. I had a friend, Dr. Hamlin, used to say, duration without end, right? It's just keeps on going. So anyway, you can see they've been tormented for over 1,000 years in a little season, and they're still there, right? So it's future, but that's where it's saying, and that's where the devil is going. Now look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. So there's two judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ, where believers, we as believers, will stand before God and give an account of our lives. Our sins are paid for, but we'll be tried for our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that, right? The things you have done for God, the reasons you have done that for God, everything since you've been a Christian, right, at that time. Here, the great white throne judgment is for those who are lost. You are not going to stand in this judgment if you're born again. If you're not born again, you will go to this judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom the face in the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place for them. Well, because the heaven and earth are gone, right? They're going to be destroyed. These people are now in heaven, but there's no place for them. Why? Why is there no place? Yeah, they didn't accept the Lord as their Savior. They're not born again. God did not make hell or lake of fire for man. He made it for the devil. And the reality is the devil and, you know, the fallen angels. So when he says there's no place for them, the reality is God cannot allow man that's lost into heaven, because if he did, heaven would be tainted.
Yeah.
Sin would be in it. He can't do that. Plus, he said he can't, right? And hell wasn't made for them, or lake of fire. So anyway,
do they go nowhere?
Well, no, there was no place for them, right? There's no place in heaven, so but where they'll go is a lake of fire, right? And we'll see that as we go. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So you think about it as a lost person, they're going to stand before God. So if someone dies today and they're lost, they go into hell. They'll stay in hell through the tribulation, through the millennial reign, little season, whenever everything's destroyed. They'll have one time they'll get out of hell. And that's their one time to stand before God. And as they stand before God, God says that there will be books that are open. Those books are of their life. But there's another book that's open, the book of life. I believe that book of life will show the person if they accepted Christ or not. And what will happen is that book will be open, and here's this lost person. They'll see that their name's not written in there, but they'll realize the opportunities they had for their name could have been written in there. And the reality is, because they rejected Jesus Christ. See, when someone gets saved, your name's written in the book of life. That means you're forgiven. Praise God. That means you're going to heaven, right? So what happens is, when that book is open and God shows them that their name's not there, it means they're not forgiven. That means they have to be judged out of the books of their life, everything they did. So there's this misconception. Sometimes people say, well, then it must be good against bad. No. They were already in hell. They're already guilty. John chapter 3 already tells us they're already condemned, which are condemned already. So the reality is, you think about someone, when they stand here, this is not to say, are you guilty? They're already guilty. They're already condemned. This is just to show them their punishment. And what is that? Well, we'll see here. But you think about those books. So that means everything that you have ever done in your life will be seen. So thank God you're saved. Amen. You're forgiven.
Yes.
There's things in my life. You know, if I think back in my life, I'm sure there's things in my life I would never want people to know. Right? Embarrassing or whatever it is.
Yep.
Wicked, whatever it is. I'm saved. It's under the blood. But if I was lost, those books will be open and everything. Not just the things I did, not just the things I said, the things I thought, things I seen, right? Every single thing will be brought out during that day. Oh, I can't imagine someone that's lost hearing all those things and being reminded of everything they've done. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Talks about sin. And death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. So if you think about it, you're either born twice and die once. Or die once. Or born once, die twice, right? So he's not talking about death. Sometimes we think about death as, you know, as in over, right? Death is a separation. When I die, I'm separated then from my body, right? My body, they'll bury me. Who I am, the Bible says, I'm in the presence of the Lord, right? So death is a separation, right? So I die, my body, you bury me here, but who I am, I go up to heaven. So here, this talks about the second death. The reality is, these people will be cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. That means for eternity separated from God. There, you think about what hell, so a lot of times we refer to hell, but you think about lake of fire. You think about the things that are not there. There's no hope in hell. There's no mercy in hell. There's no grace in hell. Yeah, there's no water in hell. There's no food in hell. I mean, you think about it, it's just torment in hell. There's a flame. The Bible talks about a worm that dieth not. Some of you can't even sleep at night because you thought a spider landed on you or something. You know, you're like this. Or you looked down and you thought you had something crawled on you, or you did have something crawled on you. And you were like, oh, and now you've been doing this for the last 22 years or whatever, right? Well, the reality is they're going to have a worm that's eating them. Yeah? And then they knock it off, but there'll be more. You know? Can you imagine that? And the torment? We know they still have their memory, because the rich man that was in hell still had his memory, because he could see and look, and he saw Abraham from afar off, and he said, Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger just in water. Give me a drop of water. So he had a memory. He could remember his family. When he realized, Abraham said, there's a great gulf fixed. There's no way. Even if we wanted to come, we can't. He said, well, then send him to my family. He remembered his family. No one in hell would want their family to go there. They would rather be tormented alone. Send him to my family. So he remembered those things, right? He also, think about it, he knew who Abraham was. There was probably things of the scripture that he remembered. But it was too late, right? So you think about that, it is going to be a constant thing. And verse 15 makes it very clear that it wasn't judging for good works and bad works or whatever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, right? Your name is either written down, that means you're either born again or you're lost. And here it is, he's very clear, if your name's not written there, you're cast, right? So every single person that's standing there, their name is not written in the book of life. The reality is every single one will be cast in the lake of fire. I cannot imagine that. I thank God that I am saved. I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to praise God for that. But the reality is, you think about it, it's when this happens now, these people are cast into there, is now when there'll be the new heaven and new earth that's created. So let me start reading in chapter 21 and verse 1. Any questions with that? Anyone with questions? All right. Look here in chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Right? So that means everything that we see today is gone. Everything's gone. And what you can see is there's no sea. In the new heaven and new earth, there's not going to be a sea. We do know there's a river. The Bible tells us there'll be a river there, but there won't be a sea there. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. What can I tell you? You think about that that day that you get married, and you know, our culture, how we do it is, you know, the man will be waiting here, and the song will be played. Everyone stands up and turns around. Doors will be open, and there comes the bride, right? And she's dum dum da dum. I thought he would stand up, but that's all right. I'm just teasing. Anyway, here she comes. She's adored, right? She has her nice white dress on, and she has her makeup done so well. She got her nails. She had to get her nails done and her toenails done. She has that blue on, and she has, you know, the makeup, her hair. I mean, she spent like $800 for her hair or whatever it was to be able to get it done. Soon I'm just going to have to get just a razor and get there. So, but anyway, she's coming down, right? Adored, right? How precious. Here is, he's describing that as we, as our society and the other cultures can think of it too, of how this lady is adored and she's looking forward to this day to take her husband. And here it is, this place God has made for us. You think of how wonderful heaven is going to be, how beautiful it will be. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the rapture of the church. And he talks about, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. See, when we go to heaven, the reality is we're always with the Lord. So when the Lord comes back on the millennial reign, we are back with him. When everything's destroyed and he's back in heaven, we're back there with him. When he creates this new heaven and new earth, we'll be on there, but he will be there too. Amen? Imagine he will be there. Amen? And it'll be a wonderful thing, this new heaven and new earth, because the reality is there'll be no sin whatsoever. I have had this winter has probably been one of the worst winters for me health-wise from the standpoint of being sick. I've been, usually every year, maybe once a year, I get sick for a few days, right? And that's usually it. That's been my life. Other than this year, it's like I've been sick, I think, 3 times. I don't know if this will be the 4th time that's there. I've been sick, you know? I think it's my wife. She's a carrier, amen? So I don't know. But, no, I don't know. I think it's Ariana. She gets sick, I get sick, amen? So, but anyway, there'll be no sickness there, you know? Your daughter battling, you know, there's none of that, amen? There's no brain cancer. There's no things with the brain, right? There's no diseases. Oh, can I tell you how wonderful it's going to be? When we get in our car and we drive here to church, we go on 812. And as we drive by the airport, you look off there on the left. And as we look off of there, we see gravestones. Some of those gravestones are quite old. And unfortunately, some of them are quite new. There's no such thing as gravestones in heaven or a new earth. Can I tell you, you will never use that terminology as we use it today. I don't think we would ever use it, but, you know, unless it's used in a different way, but it surely won't be a gravestone. There's no graveyards, right? Whatever jobs God is going to give us to do, the reality is there will be no funeral director. Caskets. Can I tell you how wonderful it's going to be? And then the Bible says this. Excuse me, I need to get some water here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know, when I read that, the chances are, in this period of time, that I may have saw people that I have known that were at the White Throne Judgment. Well, I looked, and there's people when I was on the Millennial Reigns, not there, right, that I knew. In my mind, when I'm here, must be thinking about them. And I'm sure if you know someone that's lost, a brother or a sister, mom and dad, and you know that they were just cast in a lake of fire, we must be crying, or you would never say you'd wipe away all tears from the eyes. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion, what I believe that is, and I believe I have the scripture from it also, not only from this reference, but from the book of Isaiah, where it says, but the memory of the earth will be gone. Those people that are lost, that were just cast in the lake of fire, the angels just cast them in the lake of fire, you will never remember them again. Their memory will be gone from your mind. Let me show you an example, right? If I could remember, let's say that this person was my friend, and my friend is not in heaven, my friend just went to hell. When I just thought about my friend, it'd make me really sad. And I'd have sorrow. And I'd probably feel like crying. One of the worst things to ever do, at least for me as a pastor, is to do a funeral service for someone that's lost. One of the hardest things to do. I don't like funeral services. I'd rather do a marriage ceremony anytime over a funeral service. I just don't like funeral service because it's not that I can't do them. It's not that I can't be a comfort and help people. I have done them, and it's just I feel bad for the people that are suffering, losing their loved ones, and it just hurts me. I can't numb it out because that person's there, right? I know, as in their body's there. I know they're gone, and I try to be a comfort to the people. But anyway, think about it. Wipe away all tears from their eyes. Can I tell you that the memory of those that are lost will be gone? You know how the devil keeps on bugging you about your past and remind you of all those bad things that you did that you're forgiven for? Praise God. Can I tell you all that is, it's never going to come up again, you know? Folks, can I tell you, anything that made you cry in the past or makes you cry today, how a child could break your heart or a divorce, whatever it would be, it's not going to happen ever again in heaven. Amen? What a wonderful blessing. Amen? Can I tell you, in heaven, all those things, you won't. There's no accidents. There's no wars, right? I was talking to a friend at work. And he has some friends that, where is it that they were bombing? Not Iran, but Libya? No. Begin with an L. No, I forget. Lebanon? Lebanon. Has friends in Lebanon. And he's really concerned because there's bombs and stuff that's going off. And he doesn't know, my friend could be there, and they're telling to watch out and stuff that's there. There's nothing like that in heaven. Can I tell you? All of it gone. There shall be no more death. Thank God for that, because of sin, for the wages of sin is death. That's the reason we die. It's not because of what God wanted us to do. We chose sin because of that. Each and every one of us will die unless the rapture happens, right? Be no more death. I still remember my sister calling me about my mom and telling me that my mom died. And I still remember my sister was the one that told me about my dad, that my dad died. So I still remember that. I still remember when I was 14, 15 years old. My coach from basketball, we were practicing for basketball, and I remember his name was Mr. Gallagher. So Mr. Gallagher, we were there practicing, and I remember that our counselor came in. I just remember Jay Hefner, Mr. Hefner. Came in, and I remember Mr. Hefner coming in and meeting Mr. Gallagher right there. And I remember he had all of us sit down in a group over here. And I was thinking, well, why are we sitting here, And we start to think and wonder about stuff. And I just remember Mr. Gallagher. He was a tall guy, He was like 6'6 or something. I mean, he was real tall, coming over. And I knew, Doris, it must not have been good because Mr. Gallagher was crying. And I remember Mr. Gallagher looking at us with those tears in his eyes, and I was in probably, I think, ninth grade, must have been ninth or tenth grade, looking at me and said, John Figuarella, who I just sat across from at lunch, I would eat lunch with him, John Figuarella, there was, as I knew him, we were friends, just died. Oh, could I tell you, there'd be no more death there. Can I tell you how wonderful heaven will be? I didn't even get through the rest of it. I'll come back there. Verse 4. Can I tell you, heaven will be wonderful. And I just can't wait. But you know why God's tearing? It's because he wants you to tell people about him. Amen. That they can go to heaven too. That's why God is tearing. Do your best to tell people about Jesus. Tell them how you got saved. And be a witness. You don't want anyone to go to hell. You want them to go to heaven.